talking on all political subjects and taking on all callers, this is Matt Flynn Direct with your host, Matt Flynn.
Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Go tell that long.
Welcome to Matt Flynn Direct, coming to you statewide on Civic Media. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. No subject is off limits, and all points of view are welcome. And remember, you're not woke if you don't know history. You're not woke unless and until you know history. We're right to the front lines of history in the making. And once again, there's a lot of it made yesterday, yesterday afternoon and overnight. A big development, several big developments in the Mar-a-Lago document scandal. The 11th Circuit, that's the Court of Appeals that has jurisdiction over Florida, granted the Department of Justice's motion to expedite the appeal from Eileen Mercedes Cannon in the Mar-a-Lago case. Remember what happened was she went full frontal Trump, stopped the review of the documents that had been taken pursuant to a lawful subpoena, to stop the review of it. That went up on an interim emergency basis to the 11th Circuit. Appellate court lifted it as to the classified documents. So at least the government can look and see what classified documents Trump stole, which of our agents are at risk, and which of our nuclear secrets are at risk. But then the government, the DOJ, they won that part of it, filed another motion to expedite the rest of it. In other words, not let her slowball it, give long briefing schedules, take time off for Thanksgiving and Christmas, that kind of thing. Well, yesterday the 11th Circuit came back and granted that. They said it's expedited, which means that if they come to the same conclusion as to the unredacted documents, I shouldn't say unredacted, the unclassified documents, reference to them had been redacted. Then the special master that she ordered goes by the wayside. Her order is set aside, and the government can go ahead and take a look at what they got in the search warrant to see the damage to the United States. And the theory was, it's a good theory, was, well, you know, when somebody steals 11,000 documents, and we know that hundreds of them are classified, and we know that there are empty jackets, folders that say classified, but they're empty, we know that he was loading these documents personally onto a plane, that he personally packed some of them, that in January, when he decided to turn some over, tried to get a lawyer of his, Alex Cannon, to falsely say that this was everything. Then when we know that, and that he made the decision personally, not staff, as to what to actually turn over in January, when we know all that, when we know that a year ago, September, now 13 months ago, he convinced another lawyer of his to tell the Department of Justice that the only documents he took were unclassified, like newspaper clippings. You know all of that. You want to be able to inspect everything that was taken in the raid. Everything. It was a search warrant, execution of a search warrant. Raid is the vernacular. That's not really an accurate description of it. And this clown judge down there, this Colombian she-wolf, right-wing Colombian, basically given the status that had taken more than 200 years to build up, federal judges being fair, dispassionate, and that's why they deserve lifetime appointment. Here's reaching down and taking a right-wing operative from another country, no real history in our culture, and letting them kneel down to the strong man. That's really what went on. But a couple of other things have come out that are vital to understand. And when I saw them, I frankly myself was shocked. One of them is, when you file a federal action of any sort, I don't care what it is, federal lawsuit, there's a little box that says, check if there's a related case. A lawyer checks that or not and is obligated to do it in good faith. Obligated to do it in good faith. Here there was not just a related case, but there was the issuance of a search warrant in this very case, the identical case, is not just related, it's identical, and it was Steven Reinhart. If they had checked that box, Trump's lawyers unethically did not check that box. They left it blank, giving the impression to court personnel, who are just ministerial employees. These are clerks, secretaries, that kind of thing, that there was no need to link it to another case. Then they put it on what's called the wheel. And that's just a metaphor. It's different, but it's random. You know, the metaphor is you spin a wheel and whatever it comes out. And in this case, they filed in the court where they're only going to get Eileen Mercedes Cannon. Now, she knew there was a related case. So did anybody read the newspaper? The court personnel just ministerially take a look at it. If it says there's no related case, they reassign it. Period. That's what happened here. Any judge like Eileen Mercedes Cannon, when she realized what had happened, would have remanded it to Steven Reinhart, the guy that issued the search warrant, assigned it. The 11th Circuit should do that now. And it may be that what's happening right now, by their saying we're going to expedite the rest of the appeal, that that's the way to handle it. There's a related case, transfer all of this to Steven Reinhart. And goodbye and thank you, Magaldi, Eileen Mercedes Cannon. Back you go, back into the swamp where you came from. That would be the easiest way to handle this. But there are a couple of other developments. I want to talk about them right now. One development is that her incompetent courtroom mistakenly posted for public view for a period of time the detailed inventory of all the documents taken in the search warrant back in August. Now, you may remember she told people, she ordered that the inventory be provided to opposing counsel and to the court. And there was a general discussion of it, which you read about in the newspaper, but you did not see an item-by-item description of everything that was in the document. That you did not see before yesterday. That you did not see. When they posted it yesterday by accident, I don't know who did it. I personally don't think it was intentional. You know, some good-natured whistleblower decided to blow the whistle on her. And once it was up and brought to their attention, they took it down again, but it was up long enough that the media took a screenshot and they went through the documents. Now, one good thing is in this particular inventory, the Department of Justice for the classified documents did not put any kind of description about what was in them. That would be a violation of law itself. So the good news is you're not going to read about who our agents are in Moscow, Russia, or Beijing, China, or Tehran, Iran. Not going to see that. And you're not going to see what country's nuclear secrets Trump stole. But you see darn near everything else. And I took a look at some of the reporting of this thing, and this makes it obvious to anybody that Eileen Mercedes Cannon just took a dive and is just being slavishly licking up to Trump. There were a segregated group of documents, I think about 600 of them, that the DOJ had a screening committee screen out, and they were starting to return them to Trump. In other words, Trump, when he stole documents, intermingled them with a lot of things. And some of them, for instance, his passports, he was already given back. But you don't avoid a search warrant by hiding the top secret stuff in mundane stuff. You don't get to do that. The FBI takes the whole box. And some of these things were a settlement agreement he had in a dispute with his golf course. Some of them had to do with, do you remember that weird guy, that doctor, real weirdo, who said that he was the healthiest president since George Washington? Remember that back when he was running? A real weird son of a gun, you know, looked like he had a gray wig on. He didn't look like a doctor, actually. Well, in this thing, there's some kind of extra little weird, you know, note to him or from him. All of this got is set to return to Trump. no one had an interest in taking it. And the lawyers assigned to review these for criminal cases and to review these for national security cases were fenced off from that review. There's a screening committee at the Department of Justice that goes through it only to screen out privileged stuff, irrelevant stuff, and return it without anybody else seeing it there. And they have high integrity. That had already been done. So when Eileen Mercedes Cannon, she gives that really kind of cruel, kind of gimlet-eyed look in the camera. She's bad news, by the way. She goes, well, you know, we have to make sure she already had it. She already had it. The Justice Department already said we're returning them to him. You see what I'm saying? They already said that. So she was lying is a harsh word. I mean, the other one is misleading people into thinking that she was going to be the one that sniffed all this out. She wasn't sniffing anything out. She was not sniffing anything out. So what you have now is the 11th Circuit will take this on an expedited basis. When lawyers unethically conceal from the court that there's a related case, and in this case, a case is on all fours, Stephen Reinhart, federal magistrate judge, issued a search warrant on this very stuff. And the allegation is that the FBI exceeded its jurisdiction and permission under the search warrant. The guy who issued the search warrant decides that. They lied, and they said there was no related case. They lied about that. When that happens, that should be the subject of discipline of the lawyers. It should be the subject of discipline from the judge who gets the case and holds on to it to benefit El Gordo. To benefit El Gordo. She knows very well there's more than a related case. It's been in the paper all over the place. That is what is happening here. Go to a break. The lines are open. 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break.
We gotta cut you down. Go tell that long-tongued liar. Go and tell that midnight rider. Tell the rambler, the gambler, the backbiter. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. Well, there's another development. Another development in the Mar-a-Lago documents. And remember, these documents were seized in August. And they have managed, the Republican Party has managed to tie it up for 2 months. To a corrupt judge. There's no business being a citizen of the United States, much less a judge. Well, she is servile. Servile to Trump. He is not dispassionate. He is an agent of the Trump Republicans. But there are other agents of the Trump Republicans, and they have stuck their noses in this. You may remember from a segment the other day that Trump filed an emergency appeal, he called it, in the U.S. Supreme Court. U.S. Supreme Court. And the relief he asked for was that the special master also be required first to review the classified documents before the Department of Justice could go ahead and do it. Remember, the 11th Circuit Court of Appeals reversed Eileen Mercedes Cannon, the she-wolf, reversed her. She had said they couldn't even look at the documents they took, including classified documents. You know, somebody said, well, what if an agent in Moscow, Russia gets captured, tortured, and killed? And there's a shrug. What if an agent in Beijing, China gets captured? Or in Tehran, Iran? Or in Afghanistan? We have agents all over the world. They keep us safe and they take real risks. What if a foreign government has been given the nuclear documents Trump stole? drug. 11th Circuit, at least as to that, said, no way, Jose. You can at least look at these things. So they look at him. Trump goes to the U.S. Supreme Court and says, make them stop looking at him and using him. Make the special master do it. He'll take 30 days. But wait, doesn't have a security clearance. He can't look at him. Well, his law clerk can. Well, no, she or he doesn't have a security clearance either. Well, they'll have to train one of them. Well, they got to go to a school for that. Yeah, it only takes 2 months. It only takes 2 months. Then there are issues like, well, what if the government already looked at some of these documents and realized they have an agent in Moscow, Beijing, or Tehran who's in danger? Can they act on that information, or is it the fruit of the poisonous tree? And they're excluded from even taking action on it. Do you see what's going on with the Republican Party? Has that occurred to anybody listening to this show in the last couple of years? They are a threat to our national security. The Republican Party has become a threat to our national security. And I do not want to hear about there are some good ones. Yes, there are. Yep, Liz Cheney, Adam Kinzinger, some real good ones. But there are a lot of no good nicks. And I'm not just talking about their candidates for office. I'm talking about other leaders in the party. But what do you think happened to that Supreme Court appeal? I'll tell you what would have happened in the past. When I was a law clerk for Tom Fairchild, the chief judge of the Seventh Circuit Court of Appeals in Chicago, one of the great judges. He was a finalist for a Supreme Court appointment when John Paul Stevens got it. Invited to the White House. They had a dinner for like 10 judges who were the finalists, and Stevens got it. Fairchild didn't, but you know, if something like this had come to the Supreme Court back then, and Stevens was a Republican appointee, this would have been shut down so quick. The clown, Eileen Mercedes Cannon, would be removed. The Justice Department would go forward with the review and protection of our agents and our nuclear secrets. It's a different world out there, Barnaby. And it's so different that, believe it or not, a Supreme Court justice just ordered the Department of Justice that they have till Tuesday. Today's Thursday. What's that, 5 days? To reply to Trump's request that the special master freeze everything and review the classified documents himself. And guess who the clown was who issued that order? His name is Clarence Thomas. How the devil is Clarence Thomas sticking his nose in this? His wife, Ginny, just testified to the January 6th Commission. His wife, Ginny, made calls in Wisconsin to gin up fake electors. Clarence Thomas and Ginny were in on the big steal. They were in, and I'm talking about Trump's big steal, not the lie about the general election. The Green Bay sweep. Clarence Thomas should be impeached and removed from the court. At the very least, he should recuse himself from this case. You know how he's going to rule. There was an 8-1 decision that forced documents from Mark Meadows to be turned over to the January 6th Commission. He was the one vote against it because it turned out there were his wife's emails that were turned over. That's a conflict of interest. Oh, wait. The code of ethics does not apply, believe it or not, to the Supreme Court. It applies to every other court, every other one, not the Supreme Court. And the Supreme Court has said that they can't squeeze a guy off a case. That's baloney. If all eight of the others got together and said, clown, get off this case, you get off the case. Believe me, they'd have the bailiff not let him into the courtroom. But they're all so intent on defending their own prerogatives, so intent on their status and their vanity and their strutting, they're going to do it right up till 1792 in France, when the mayor of Paris is sitting in his office. A bunch of guys come in and drag him out. Same with the king, Louis. That was it. Going to a break. Lines are open. 844-967-2789. I see you on the lines. Do not hang up. Right back right after the break. Back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. We are going right to the lines. Mark from the SAC, my friend. Thanks for calling. What's in your mind today, Mark from the SAC?
Yeah, it should be incredible to us that our Supreme Court doesn't have a code of ethics that they're required to follow, that even the ancients saw the value of the judges had to be above the fray. They're supposed to be dispassionate and hold to the law. I mean, we're in a situation, I think I heard figures the other day, that we are economically, with the concentration of wealth in this country, getting close to it was the situation in France prior to the French Revolution, and we all know how that ended up. It didn't end out well, end up very well for the people at the top of the heap. They thought they were forever going to be on the top of the heap. And here in Wisconsin, let's remember that the people who drafted the code of ethics for our judiciary, the recusal rules, is WMC. I mean, one of the people that goes before the Supreme Court here in the state of Wisconsin pretty often is one of the people that drafted the code of ethics. I mean, it just is, they're not required in our court to recuse themselves from cases where they've got big donors. I said, oh, that was like a couple of years ago. They gave me $2 million for my campaign. Well, hogwash. I mean, our judges are supposed to be above the fray, as you were saying. They're supposed to be dispassionate, not be involved in the case. And it's clear in the case for Donald Trump that there are judges that are willing to do whatever it takes for the monster that was the president of the United States. I mean, we don't know how many people Donald Trump has betrayed and are now dead because Donald Trump, you know, monetized that information. I mean, even the unclassified documents, there's probably value in those unclassified documents that, you know, intelligence operatives would find value in. It is just jaw-dropping.
Right. That's two points you just said I want to pick up on that are important. One of them is that's exactly right. First of all, people may not understand this, but whether or not a document's classified, if it can be of assistance to an adversary and you give it to him or sell it to him, you have violated the Espionage Act. Doesn't matter if it's classified or not. One of the reasons why the government wants to be able to review the unclassified documents is a context. In other words, they'll see what documents he stole in conjunction with the classified to see how he may be trying to use them. But the second thing that Mark just said is exactly right. If you're an intelligence operative, if somebody turned over the unclassified documents in the Russian archives that were contemporaneous documents, we would be able to reconstruct a lot of things. That's a violation of the Espionage Act. I'll address in a second Mark's other point, but I will say this again. This is an espionage case. This isn't just a handling of documents case. Those documents were taken to give them to somebody in return for value. And the value can be as simple as being forgiven on a debt. It can be blackmail. It can be revenge. It can be anything. If that occurred, and that is what they want to investigate, there will be an indictment for espionage. There will be an indictment for espionage, because in espionage cases, people lose their lives. Second point that Mark just made was on the code of ethics in the Supreme Court. Is exactly right. There is no code of ethics now preventing conflicts of interest in the U.S. Supreme Court or anything else for that matter. It stops at the courts just below them because they have never imposed it on themselves. They have acted like kings and queens for the last 220 years. The only reason people have put up with it is because over time they have looked dispassionate. For a while, in the 30s, they shut down the New Deal, said it was unconstitutional because they were all right-wing Republicans, and Roosevelt attacked them, said, I'm appointing six more justices. One guy chickened out, a guy named Owen Roberts. So he went with the others, the liberal minority, so it was then a 5-4 majority. One of the first things they did was to uphold the constitutionality of Social Security. The Supreme Court was about to strike that down. Ron Johnson would strike it down now by the pretense of reauthorizing it every year when he won't even vote for a continuing resolution to fund the government for 2.5 months. You see what's happening. But on the Supreme Court level, Clarence Thomas, this is not just a case of a conflict of interest. This is a case of a guy and his wife conspiring with the president to overturn an election. And this justice being the sole vote on an 8-1 decision to stop his wife's emails from being shown to the January 6th commission. How more naked can you get? You recuse yourself if your wife is the subject of the case. You can't possibly be dispassionate. But that's what he did. And the other justices didn't even criticize it. He's got to be impeached. He's not the only one. But this happened on the state Supreme Court level. Remember a guy named Gableman? Remember him? Very recently, Voss hired him. He collected hundreds of thousands of dollars, spent over $1 million on a fraud. Remember him? But he was a Supreme Court justice for a term. And the manufacturer's tax exemption came up. And he had $1 million pumped into his campaign by sources that were close to the manufacturers. And he voted on that case to uphold the constitutionality of what is a clearly unconstitutional tax exemption. Just because you own a manufacturing company, what, you're going to pay no income tax? I have a lot of respect for manufacturers. They should get all the deductions they have coming to them. But this is what he did. And then somebody said, well, you should recuse yourself. You should recuse yourself. Guy gives you a million smackaroos. You think that's not going to affect your decision? Or at least give the appearance of affecting it when you vote in their favor? This is the stuff you get in South America, Asia, Africa, the Middle East, communist countries. No, he stays on. There was a proposal that if anybody gives you more than $20,000, you got to recuse yourself if they're a litigant in the case. You say 20, that's a lot of money. It is. But the limit is 10 grand for these statewide races, and you can give 10 in the primary and 10 in the general. So let's call it 20. Okay. That's bad enough. How about $1 million? That would cut out some of the worst abuses, and they would not pass that. The Supreme Court, Republican Supreme Court, wouldn't pass it. How do I know they're a Republican Supreme Court? There's three of them voted not to certify Joe Biden's victory in Wisconsin and give it to Donald Trump. This is our state. The only thing that saved us, Brian Hagedorn, he's a Republican. And basically what he said is, look, I'm not saying I like the election, but I'm an American. I've read the Constitution. People vote. Whether I like it or not, I believe in the peaceful transition of power. You know, that is such a rudimentary, elementary thing. And everybody's going like, it's now a big deal. It's a very big deal. It shouldn't even be in dispute. Well, a bad decision from the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals in New Orleans, very right-wing, the most right-wing circuit, all Republicans, basically, or a lot of them are. They ruled that the Obama policy that protected DACA kids was a violation of federal law. This had protected something like 814,000 kids, now adults, who came to this country when they were infants, 5 years old, 10 years old. Parents came in illegally. The kids are innocent. They've gone to American schools. They speak English as well as you and I do. They're identical. They're Americans. Many of them went on to college, trade school, Most of them are gainfully employed. Many of them were military veterans, no different from you and me, except as to where they were born and how they got here. Obama passed this in 2012, benefited 814,000 people. It halted departures and it gave work permits to people. Our employers needed it. They're begging for employees right now. In August, Biden saw the handwriting on the wall and he strengthened it and he formed new regulations to get around some of the Republican objections. The Fifth Circuit just came down and said what Obama did was illegal. What Biden did requires more study, so we sent it down to the lower court to look at. Right now, there are hundreds of thousands of people who've been here all their lives, been educated here, loyal citizens, veterans, people gainfully employed, many of them doctors, lawyers, some of them judges. What are they going to do? The Republicans are going to go, get out of here, and they come send a guy for him. Tries to hide in the garage, they drag him out, get him with a club, throw him in a car. What, are they going to drive him to the border? What, are they put him on a train and send him to, or a plane and send him to Paraguay or something and dump him on the tarmac? What kind of deal is this? This isn't right. You can't wait 10 years from 2012 to throw guys out like that. I will say this. Some people, some prognosticators have said that, there's a drift by some people in the Latino community to go to the Republicans. And you can see it in Florida. You can see it in South Texas and all that. Well, let me tell you something. This transcends ethnicity. This should offend anyone. When you have a little one comes to this country, if your parents, when you were 3 years old, picked you up, took you in a car and drove somewhere, you'd go with them because you wouldn't have the faintest idea what else to do and you love your parents. So you end up in a different country and you go to kindergarten and everybody's speaking English. Your parents speak Spanish at home, but a little English. And you come back speaking English perfectly. Then you go into the first grade, and then your second grade, and go all the way through grade school. You're in activities with your buddies. You go to high school. Some of you go in the military. Some go to college. Some get training, go into the workforce. You marry, you have kids. Your kids are citizens because they're born in the United States. The person you marry is very frequently also a citizen. You're the breadwinner. And some clowns, some Republican clowns in New Orleans, call themselves the Fifth Circuit, go, okay, yeah, I know 10 years have gone by. I know more than 800,000 folks have relied on this. I know that other Supreme Courts have held it up, and I know that various Congresses have held it up. But I'm sorry, guy, you're out of here. That's not a way to run a democracy. That's not a way to run a country. That's not American. It's just flat out not an American thing to do. It's not what we do. Something's got to be done. It's possible that the lower court will then say, okay, what Biden did does enough to keep him here. The problem was the Fifth Circuit said, there can't be any new applications. So if somebody was brought in a year ago or something, or 2 years ago, and he's 3 or 4 years old, he can't apply now himself. Well, we will see. We'll see what happens. We're also going to see in the Latino community, does this bother anybody? It bothers the hell out of me, and I'm not in the Latino community. It should bother the hell out of any American. You should not have to put up with this kind of stuff. This is lying in the weeds, 10 years late. Bunch of people for 10 years. If they came here at 3, they're 13. If they came here at 9, they're 19. They came here at 12 or 13, they're adults and they're in the military, they're working, married, kids. You know, this isn't right. Okay, we're going to go to the break. The lines are alive. I see you. Do not hang up. Here, do not hang up. I'll get back to the lines. Right after the break, the lines are open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break. Man, secret. Back to Matt Flynn, director. Lines are open at 844-967-2789. We're right to the telephone lines. I'm going to get all three of you in this segment. We're going to take you in order, going first to Joe of Madison, my friend. Thanks for calling, Joe. What's in your mind?
Great details, and as always, particularly in that first segment, it's very, very helpful to have that information about the Supreme Court cases and the 11th Circuit cases. Thanks a lot, Matt. I would like to talk about the issue of crime and how it relates to Trump and to our Republican Senator Ron Johnson, who's seeking another term. You have described the situation with Trump as an espionage case, and that in those cases, there are people who lose their lives. And it's important to understand that those people who lose their lives, foreign agents who are working for us, are our own agents. It's impossible to describe the personal sacrifice that these people are making for our national security. And to have somebody, an ex-president, to have compromised that is just a horrendous thought. I would point out there, from there, though, Senator Ron Johnson has not called out any of this stuff that has to do with the Mar-a-Lago documents. He's done nothing to say, wait a minute, if you're A-OK, just let people look at this stuff, return the documents, and quit acting like this. Nothing like that has come from Ron Johnson. It is, in a sense, that by not calling it out, it is support of this ongoing crime. I would say that he still continued the support of this ongoing crime in terms of his unwillingness to describe the crime of the insurrection as what it is. I mean, he helped participate, and just this last week we found out that his participation was not, as he said, a few seconds, but more like an hour in terms of the fake electors. And I wonder what else is there. And I think probably the worst that I heard this week, and I maybe you were going to get to this, Matt, but was he was quoted in an interview as saying about the insurrection as well, they did teach us how you can use a flagpole, referring to the ways that flagpoles right. were used to beat police officers. I can't think of anything that's more, this is a guy who purports to be against crime, and he would say this about police officers who still to this day continue to have injuries from those attacks, using an American flagpole in such a heinous way. I wanted to get your reaction as to what happens when people in that party will not call out Trump. Even to this late date, Mr. Johnson does not call out Trump. Thanks right. a lot. I'm interested to hear your reaction.
Yeah, thanks, Joe. Excellent point. Yeah, we did allude to the flagpole thing the other day. And to clarify, what he said was, this is unbelievable. He said it was not an insurrection. It was just a bunch of guys protesting. Even though there's video and data showing him cowering in his office, he was afraid they'd come after him. Remember something, these guys would kill any senator. They would definitely kill Pence, and they would have killed Pelosi and Bernie Sanders. If they'd gotten hold of Mitt Romney or Ron Johnson, they would have killed him on the spot. And he did say that. They said, well, Senator, you said these people weren't armed, but here's everything they had. And there were guns. And he said, well, they did teach us how to use a flagpole. And as Joe points out, those flagpoles were used to beat cops. But in some cases, they were formed into spears. They had these crude spear points on them, and they were jabbing the cops with them. That's a cruel thing to say to a cop. These cops, you know, they might have a wife and a couple of kids. They don't make a ton of money. They're trying to defend everybody, and they're getting attacked, and you have a senator doing this. This has got to come out in these debates coming up. Thanks for calling, Joe. Cassandra of Middleton, my friend. Thanks for calling. You're next, Cassandra. What's in your mind?
Hi, Matt. It's always nice to listen to your show and hear your views on various topics. I have to say that I am enjoying your discussion in your coverage of the judge for President Trump and his case. The one area where I fault you, where I say I'm a little uncomfortable, is that Judge Cannon, it's perfectly fair game, in my opinion, to criticize her ruling, but to be critical of her country of origin, that's something I'm not comfortable with. There are wonderful immigrants who I feel would make fabulous judges. The Miss Cannon or whoever she is, she is just not qualified to sit on the bench. It has nothing to do with her immigration status. And I will leave it at that for now, and I'll call back another time and talk about Eric Adams and the issues that he's having with the refugees. The Democratic Party really has to make a decision about immigration. You know, Ron DeSantis and Greg Abbott, I don't like the tactics that they employed, but they really are showing people how the present administration's policy, it is just unworkable. And we really have to make a clear immigration policy, and some people will just have to be denied, and then only a small number will be permitted to enter, because we just don't have the resources to bring in all the people who want to come and apply to be here. Okay, I will end it there, and always fabulous show.
Thank you, Cassandra. Cassandra Middleton, who I believe is a military veteran, and I always appreciate her calling in. Cassandra, I'm going to respond briefly to some of what you said on the immigration. I think that's a profound question that you'll call again, and we'll do a segment on it. But when it comes to the country of origin of Eileen Mercedes Cannon, I think you and I have one difference of opinion. Somebody's heritage is irrelevant. I agree with that 100%. But when they were born in another country, remember Colombia, some of these countries have an extreme right-wing cast. They really do. And they pit a right-wing establishment against the indigenous population. This is happening all over South America. It happens in Africa. It happens in Asia. So you say she's unqualified. That's true. She's incompetent. That's true. But everything she has done gives the indicia of what I would say is very right-wing Colombian politics, which is subservience to the strongman, servility. You must be subservient. And that goes beyond just disputes as to, no one cares. In my own family, there are a number of relatives from different cultures, Colombia, Mexico, and so on. I lived in Mexico as a kid. I went to the second and third grade down there because my dad was a professor, is writing a book. However, I will say this, though, we are flat out of our minds if we make somebody who's born somewhere else and is showing right-wing indicators a judge and say we're not all worried about their background. We're sure as heck worried about their background in that respect. We've got to go to a break. The lines are still alive. I will get back to you. Do not hang up. The lines are open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break. I'm in love with you. Oh,